Amen. Can we give the Lord a sacrifice of praise tonight? Thank you, Jesus. So good to be in your house, Lord. It's so good to know the Lord. Amen. Thank all of you for being in God's house tonight, for taking the time to get yourself ready, get your family here. I do appreciate you being here. I'm going to give you what I feel in my spirit tonight. Are you ready? God bless you. You can be seated. I want to talk to you tonight about this subject, your voice, your choice. I'm going to say it again, your voice, your choice. I'm just looking for honesty tonight. How many of you will be honest along with your pastor and say that sometimes you struggle in your prayer life? Can I see your hand? Thank you. We all do, right? We all struggle in our prayer life. It may be very natural for a brand new baby to come into this world and know how to breathe naturally. But can I tell you, it doesn't come so naturally for us to learn how to pray as newborn babes. And I told Molly last night, Molly and I had some time as we were driving from an appointment in Beaumont back home. And I told Molly, I said, Molly, I would love to tell you as your father, as your pastor, and as a man who is 53, that it gets easier. I would love to tell you that it gets easier. But the truth is, the devil has a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. And that is, he wants to try to steal your prayer life. He wants to kill your relationships. He wants to destroy your walk with God. Right? He's not after your car, your 401k, your paycheck. He may touch those things, but he only touches those things because he knows they're important to you. They're not important to him. He's after one thing, brothers and sisters, and that is he wants to try to get your prayer life. He wants to get your relationship with God, because if he can get those two things, you're walking out the back door eventually. And I just want to tell you that even as your pastor, and having the baptism of the Holy Spirit for over 40 years, it doesn't get any easier. You have to focus. You have to say intentionally, I'm going to pray today. Because life is so busy. It is so busy that when I wake up, if I don't give God the first fruits of my day, when I fall in the bed at around 11 o'clock, I am exhausted. Can I get a witness? And so what I am saying to all of us, it's our voice and it's our choice. And we have to make the choice to choose to give God our first fruits. And a lot of that means, some of that time means prayer. Prayer. Can I get a witness? I'm going to talk tonight for a little bit about prayer. It's got to be taught, it can be caught, and it's got to be sought. I'm going to say it again. It's got to be taught, it's got to be caught, and it's got to be sought. And here is what I want to do. As I want to just come alongside you tonight, not as a prayer expert, but my dad was a great prayer warrior. Bill Gilmore was a great prayer warrior. And I have literally listened by the hour to both of those men pray. Because one of the best things you can do to learn how to pray is to get beside somebody that knows how to pray. Right? That's one of the best ways to learn to pray, is to get beside somebody and just pick up what they say, incorporate it into your prayer life, because prayer must be taught. And brothers and sisters, I hope that I am wrong, but in my lifetime, I can see the way America is going, that we may not always have this privilege that we have right now. We may eventually have to meet in our homes, and we may have to learn how to feed ourselves. And before we ever get there, I want to make sure that I can stand before God and say, God, I did my best as I was pastor to, Lord, to try to come alongside your people and again highlight the importance of prayer. Because brothers and sisters, what prayer is to the spirit, food is to the natural man. You cannot survive the spirit without prayer. You cannot survive as a spiritual individual without prayer. And we can't do less of it. As the world gets darker, we got to do more of it. Can I get a witness? So I just want to come alongside you for a few minutes tonight. And I just want to be very transparent with you. And I want to be a teacher. And just show you perhaps a model of prayer. It's not perfect. It's not what you have to do every time. It's just a model of prayer that you can use. As your pastor, 9 times out of 10, I always pray in the mornings because I am my best from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the afternoon. That is when I'm at my peak performance. So I try to do things that are the most important to me, things that only I can do. Janet can't pray for me. She can do laundry for me, but she can't pray for me. She can iron my clothes for me, but she can't do my studying for me. She can't put together messages for me. Those are things that I got to do. And I do those from 6 a.m. in the morning till around 2 to 3 in the afternoon because I want to give God my best. If you're a night person, Janet is a night person. I'm a morning person. If you're a night person, then that may be your best time. But I just preach with passion tonight. Whenever your best time is, whether it's morning, afternoon, or night, give your first fruits to God. Because we are falling into this culture ideology is that we've got to attend to the urgent instead of the important. And if you're not careful, every day will be urgent. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And we go and we reach for the urgent and we don't do the important. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot that you can let somebody else do or it just has to fall by the wayside. But one of the most important things that you need is time with the Lord. You can't make it and I can't either without time with God. And we are getting so busy that the world is putting their hands in so much of our time that by the time we fall in bed at 11 o'clock, we're exhausted, and it's now I lay me down to sleep. And that's okay, but I think God wants more than that from mature believers. Can I get a witness? So here's what I do is just as a model. When I wake up in the mornings, typically I start my morning with prayer, and I start a protocol. There is a protocol to enter the King's presence. Just as you would not go in and meet the president without protocol or the queen without protocol, you should also obey protocol to meet the King of Kings. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, and I've taught this many times, but I'm going to keep teaching it. The Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Please do not come before the Lord asking unless he bids you to. If he doesn't bid you to do that, don't do it. Come in protocol before the king. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know what? When you lose something, you realize the value of it, don't you? What are you saying? That if you ever really like slit your finger, then you realize how valuable that finger is to even button your buttons. What are you saying? I'm saying that you ought to give God thanks for everything. The very air that you breathe, you ought to thank him for it. You ought to thank him for your two eyes, that you slept all night and woke up and had a heartbeat and you were still in your right mind. I don't want to get graphic with you, but I want to just tell you this. There are some things that you would be surprised that I even thank God for. You say, Pastor, you got me curious now. I even thank God that I can go to the men's room. You say, yes. You know why? Because there's a lot that can't. I thank God that I can walk because there's a lot that can't. I thank God that I can raise my hands because there's a lot that can't. I thank God that I can come to work because there's a lot of people that would love to work but can't. I thank God for my vehicle. I thank God for my home. I thank God for my wife and our two children. I thank God for every meal that I've ever eaten, every time I've had some type of water to drink. I thank God for it, because in Him I live and I move and I have my being, and I can't do anything without Him. You hear me? You might be able to do something in your flesh, but it's really of no value. But you cannot do anything, and neither can I, without God of spiritual value. And so we got to have Him every day. Every day. I'm talking tonight about your voice, your choice. And so my choice is to I enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And then I enter into His courts with praise. And I start telling God, how great He is. It's not because He's an egomaniac and He needs His ego stroked. God has angels worshiping Him 24/7. He doesn't need me to tell Him how great He is. I need to tell Him how great He is. Because whoever I worship is who I imitate, is who I become. And I want to keep Him on the throne so that I don't serve any lesser gods. Because all the other gods are lesser gods. All the other gods that take you to the gutter, but God takes you to glory. All the other gods take you to zero, but God takes you to heaven. And I'm here to tell you, you got to give God praise in your life. Because you want Him always to be on the throne of your life. Can I get a witness? Your voice. Look at your neighbor and say, it's your voice. It's your choice. Either you're going to bless with your mouth, or you're going to curse. I'm not going to curse. I'm going to bless. I'm going to use my mind and my mouth for the glory of God. I'm going to cause it to work for me and not against me. I'm going to use it in the prayer chamber to shake nations and to shake communities. Hallelujah, because I have Christ living in me. So then I go to thanksgiving, first of all. Then I go to praise. And I praise Him for His nature. See, you and I have been taught that the nature of God is judgmental. It's angry. That God is always angry with us. I want to teach you that the nature of God is kind and loving. Now, He is judgment, but it's the last resort. He will get a hold of you, but it's because He loves you, not because He's angry with you. Correct? But I want to teach you of God's nature. God's nature is to love. God's nature is to give. God's nature is to bless. God's nature is long-suffering. And brothers and sisters, there are times that I can absolutely get lost in the unfathomable love of God. That God would love such a one as I and call me into the ministry and let me stand before such great people to preach His word when I know I'm not worthy. But I thank God that He didn't give me what I deserved, but He gave me what Jesus deserved, and He put on Jesus what I deserved. That's called the grace of God. Amen. Can I get a witness? And so then here's now, as I try to calm down here, then now here's what I'm doing now. Okay. I'm now taking this list. Tyler's laughing at me. I'm taking this list, and I just want to show you. Because I don't want to get to heaven and you say, Pastor didn't teach me how to pray. I don't want that on me. So I'm going to be very, very elementary with you tonight. Not because you're elementary people, but I just don't want anyone missing it. Okay? So here's what I do now. I have learned that we have taught most of you to be sin conscious when we should have been teaching you to be God conscious. I'm trying to change that now. I can't right the wrong that I've done in the past. I can only make it right now with the revelation that I have. So what this helps to do over time is to get you become more God conscious than sin conscious. Okay, so what do you mean by that? In other words, I don't want you to live in fear of I'm going to mess up. I want you to live in the overflow of His abundance and His grace and His mercy and His love. Did that make sense? Thank you. So here's now what I do. Just very simple, very elementary, nothing elaborate. I take this list, I put it in my hand, and I start saying, God, I thank You that I'm Your child. I know, God, I don't deserve it. I can't even explain it. But thank you for reaching down and seeing something in me that you would want to call me your own. Then I go to the second one. Father, not only am I your child, but according to John 15 and 15, I'm your friend. I can't fathom that, God, but you call me friend. That's what you said. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master doeth, but I call you friends. And he wants to share his secrets with you, but he can't share his secrets with you when you're rocking out to your favorite tune. You got to get alone with him so you can hear the still small voice of God. You got to get away, and I got to get away from the urgent to get back to what is important. So then I go to him and say, God, I thank you that I'm your friend. Do I feel like a friend of God? No, but it doesn't matter that I don't feel it. John 15 and 15 says, I am that. So I'm going to confess what this word says I am. Then it says, I'm justified. I've taught you what that word meant. Just as if I've never done it. Just as if I've never sinned. Why? Because God looks at us through the blood. Father, I am justified today. I don't feel saved. I don't feel good. I don't feel like I'm, Lord, anything. But on the basis of your word, I come to you covered in your blood. Make sense? And then I just keep going. I am united with the Lord, and I am one with you in spirit. And then I keep praying. Father, I thank you that you bought me with the price. I am not my own. You redeemed me with your precious blood. I am yours and you are mine. I am complete in you. What does that mean? It means when I was born as a man, I was a complete individual. I had every muscle, every sinew, every nerve, everything I needed was in the seed. It was all there. When God deposited the Holy Spirit in you, you got everything you need. Now all you have to do is walk it out. Right? If I want these muscles to grow, everything I need is there. I got to work it out. Everything you need is on the inside of you, but you work it out, you exercise it through the word, through prayer, through walking with God, and allowing his nature to become your nature. And then I just keep praying. Father, I thank you that I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit? I've taught you this is more than speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit gives you access to the throne of God. I don't have to go through a high priest. I don't have to go through a bull. I don't have to go through a sheep. I don't have to go through a grain offering. I get direct access to God, even with sin in my life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit in me never sins. And so when God looks at me, he looks at me through his spirit. Does he see my sin? Sure, he sees it. Must I confess it? Sure, I must confess it. But I can still come boldly to the throne of God, even with sin in my life, because of what he did for me at Calvary. Then I keep praying. I am forever free from all condemnation. Why? Because he took all the wrath. Jesus took all of God's wrath upon him for you and I. And I thank him for it. Then I keep praying. God, that I can be assured that all things. So you got to use your voice and you got to make a choice. The devil is not going to overtake me. I'm going to keep going back to this word. And devil, I'm going to tell you right now that things may not be looking good in my life, but the word of God tells me in Romans 8 and 28 that all things are working together right now for my good. It's working. I may not like it. I may not enjoy it. But here's what the scripture says. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. I'm about to get happy right now. I'm fixing to tell you why could he endure the shame? Why could he despise what he was going through? Because he looked down to 2021 and he saw a Tyler on the third row and he said, that's why I came, so I could give Tyler a
second chance. That's why I came, so I could give Asa a second chance. That's why I have joy, because I could give Carlton a second chance. Not because he enjoyed the crucifixion. No one enjoyed that. He didn't enjoy that. But he looked down the road to see what that was going to bring about. Here's why I said all of that. Because what you're going through is not preparing you for where you are. It's preparing you for where you're going. Because God has potential. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose in you. And he loves you so much that he was willing to save you where you were. But he loves you so much that he's not willing to leave you there. And then I go down. And it says that I'm a citizen of heaven. And that this is how I handle that. I say, Father, this world is not my home. You know why? Because everything I see around here tries to put its claws in me to get earth to be my home, to get my identity to be in what I drive and who I know and what I earn and where I live and what I wear. Because we're living in a very shallow culture. And listen, your pastor is not beyond that garbage. But here's what I go back to this and say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So it's okay if I drive a Bondo buggy, because I know that I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. It's all right if I got to wear hand-me-downs, because I know I'm going to have the robe of his righteousness. It's all right if I got to live in a shack, because I know he has prepared a place for me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Right? Mansions. And I have to keep reminding myself of that, because I can get, just like you can, I can get caught up in the values of this world. And then I keep going. And I go down to John 15:1-5. You are God the branch, and I am the vine. And Father, as the branch, you don't want me hewing off another branch. You just want me growing the fruit of grace and love. Now, you can take this, put it in your hand, and don't say, well, this is elementary. I shouldn't need it. You know what? Here's what happens. Then I get caught up in the Spirit. And then I just lay my little lesson down, and I start praying out of my spirit, and I start interceding, and then God starts bringing people to my mind. There's things that I don't know in my flesh, but my spirit knows. And it started telling me the other day, pray for Robbie Bankin, pray for Robbie Bankin. I didn't know what was going on with Robbie Bankin. Me and Robbie hadn't been talking, but I called him several days later, and the bottom has dropped out of his world. Now I know why I was praying like I was praying, because the Spirit was interceding through your pastor on behalf of a brother that needed prayer. I want to be here to tell you, you are so valuable. You don't even know how valuable you are. The devil's got you thinking you're nothing and you're a nobody and you're just a little no-name saint sitting on a pew. I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar. Your prayer can shake heaven. Your prayer can change a community. Your prayer can lift up a brother or a sister. Would you lift your hands and give him praise right now? Come on, would you give him praise right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's your voice. It's your choice. You got to quit feeling like you're Peter Peon and nobody, and realize who you are in Christ. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a saint. What does that mean? I'm a called out one. I'm chosen. He chose me. The Bible says we've been adopted into sonship. When you have a biological child, you don't get a choice. But when you adopt somebody, you do get a choice. Think about it. He had a choice when he chose you. Whew. I don't know what he saw in me, but it don't matter. I'm just glad he saw something. Come on, somebody. Oh, I love that. We know that prayer changes things, right? Prayer is what's going to help us to get to the finish line. Look at your neighbor and tell them, prayer is going to help you to get to the finish line. So don't stop praying, TPC. You say, well, it's just me and two others. That's all right. You and two others can move a jail cell. Come on. I think I read where Paul and Silas, just the two of them, started praising God. And it wasn't a little bit long that the jailhouse started rocking. I'm here to tell you, you're more powerful than what you realize. The devil's trying to shut you up. And if he can shut you up, he'll shut you down. But as long as you got a voice, you keep quoting scripture to the devil. And you tell the devil, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Y'all need this up here because this tells me how long I've been preaching. And my Lord, we're facing an onslaught tonight of liberalism and immorality in America as never before. It's at an all-time high. And I think that there is a spirit of the age that is saying to a lot of Christians around the world that we just need to resign ourselves in America and around the world, that we're just going to live in a post-Christian nation. I hope that TPC rejects that mentality. That's just kind of like saying, well, the Nazis are going to win, so let's just stay home. Hey, thank God for the brave men and women that got up and said, Nazis, nothing. We're Americans, and we're going to get in this fight. And they turned the tide of evil. Because had it not been for that, you'd be speaking German today. And there wouldn't be a Jew on the face of the earth. But there were some Americans that stood up and said, not on my watch. And I am just hoping tonight that somehow, some way, your pastor can inspire you to join with me and Janet and Trey and Molly and say, not on our watch. We're going to raise our voice, and this is our choice, and we're going to see a community come to know the power of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I do believe that it is my Christian duty to oppose the devil on every front. I believe it is my Christian duty to oppose the devil on every front. And we see and we hear the ungodly media pushing the devil's agenda on America. And it does, brothers and sisters, look like evil is winning on every front. But we know prayer changes things. Call me crazy. Call me what you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I'm praying, and I know this is way out there, but I'm praying, God, could you somehow allow a Brownsville-type revival to happen into Quincy, that this community would be a place of refuge? I know this is crazy. I know it is, but is it even possible that some people could join together and this could be the hotbed of a revival that starts right here into Quincy? Quincy and goes to Sulphur and Lake Charles and into Lafayette and into Baton Rouge and into New Orleans. Could it be possible that a group of people would stand up and say, this is my voice, this is my choice. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to let up, but I'm going to stand up. Hallelujah. Yes, he can. Thank you. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. There is nothing that is impossible with my God. Oh, God. This is why, for the last 10 years, my message has been, I believe in modesty, but I don't believe in judgmentalism, because we need a church that will love people wherever they come from, whatever their name is, whatever their socioeconomic status is, however they look, red, yellow, black, and white. And for the last 10 years, God has asked me to pour myself into TPC so that he could establish a culture in this church that would accept people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we don't get caught up in what they look like, but rather we get caught up in, that's a lost soul that needs Jesus. It's our voice. It's our choice. You know what? We talk to those we love. How many agree with that? I don't mean to keep going back to Trey, but the truth is that Janet and I are trying to figure out every way possible to stay connected to this boy when he goes to Kansas. So it's FaceTime, and it's on the phone, and it's Zoom, because we want to see his face. Right? You know why? Because we love him. When you love somebody, you want to talk to them. When you love somebody, how many, get honest, how many's been with a friend and you looked up and an hour just went boom like that, right? Yes. Why? Because you enjoy their company. You just love being with them. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Our silence with God is a measure of our loveless condition. If we love to talk to a good friend, I'm telling you that he said he's a friend that will stick closer than any brother. And when we're not talking to him, it's showing us something that's within us. It's our voice. It's our choice. We got to fall in love all over again with Jesus instead of the culture. Come on, this prayer changes things. Can I get a witness? I didn't say that last sentence to condemn any of us. I said it to awaken us. There is no substitute for prayer. There is no substitute for prayer. Not great preaching, not beautiful singing, not powerful church services. Nothing is a substitute for prayer. We cannot be the church without being prayerful. Can't do it. And I got to stop. Let's stand. Can't. We can't be the church without being prayerful. I'm all about coming to the house of the Lord and praying in a prayer room. Yes, I'm all about it. But more important than that, I'm about getting in my own personal closet before I ever come here so that I'm already ready. You don't want me to try to get ready in 5 minutes before church. You want me to be ready. It's our voice. It's our choice. Would you agree with me right now as you slip your hand up and ask God to reignite our passion for Him, for prayer, for revival, for the things of God? All over this house, would you slip your hands up and would you agree with me right now? Let's unify. Let's pray together, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we're not here, Lord, to curse the darkness. We're here to bless the light because we know the darkness has no choice. When the light comes in, the darkness has to flee. I'm not here, oh God, to preach a condemning message about prayer. I'm here to remind the people of God how powerful that they are. Their prayers change things. Their prayers bust prison doors down. Their prayers change lives. And Father, I am asking you as your servant, Lord, put a fresh anointing, put a fresh passion in our heart, God, for the things of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Would you talk to the Lord right now? Would you just ask God, God, help me. Help me, oh God, to just reevaluate my priorities. And so, Lord, that I don't get so caught up in the urgent that I neglect the important. In the name of Jesus. Kaylee, would you sing as we just, would you just talk to the Lord a few minutes? As Sister Kaylee sings, would you just talk to him? Would you just... Come on, TPC, would you... Would you just seek the Lord right now? Ask the Lord God, put a fresh desire. I ask Him all the time, because it's not in my nature to pray. It's not in my nature to want my flesh to be crucified. So I pray, God, would you give me the desire to pray? Lord, would you put your love in my heart to love the unlovable? Would you help me to look beyond their face, what they're wearing, and see their heart? Would you give me a passion, God, for the lost, the hurting, the humble, the broken? Yes, Lord. God, would you help me that I don't get so caught up in the culture of this world that I forget I'm a citizen of heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. God, would you help me that I don't get so caught up in a temporal view that I forget the eternal view? It's my voice. My choice. I'm going to use it for good. I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God. I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but would you just place your hand on your neighbor's shoulder if you're not uncomfortable doing that? And would you pray right now for a fresh passion to grip TPC, that person that you're praying for, that God would awaken us, reignite us. On the authority of the name of Jesus, young, old, middle-aged, married, single, youth, divorced, red, yellow, black, white, male, female, God, would you reignite TPC? Would you stir up, oh God, the gifts that are in us? Would you help us to see just how powerful we are when we're on our knees? In the name of Jesus, Janet and I told you that I've been praying, God, show me anything in my life that would hinder me from getting closer to you. And you may look at that as, I wonder what sin Pastor's talking about. It's not so much sin as I feel that it is an indictment against me. And here's what I'm talking about. When the prophet Elijah got ready to show whose God was God, God answered by fire. And there was no doubt when they walked away whose God was God. What I'm wanting God to show me is, Lord, show me what is in me, because I want to be able to pray the prayer of faith for a Larry Darty and see God totally and miraculously heal him. It don't have to be me. It can be you. But I'm saying, God, we've got to see miracles, signs, and wonders, because these things shall follow them that believe. We got to have the fire of God fall in our lives and in our church. Did that make sense? I got to see it. I can't just preach about it. I got to see it. And I'm just asking God to awaken in you that same passion. Because here's what I know, and I've said it to you many times. One man can't touch 400 people in 4 minutes, but 400 people can touch 400 people in 4 minutes. And when you're ready, you can lay hands on their shoulder and pray the prayer of faith, and God do the miraculous. And guess what? You don't get the glory, and I don't either. He gets all the glory, the praise, and the honor. Hallelujah. Did that make sense? I'm hungry for it, and I believe you are too. And here's what the scripture says, and I'll let you go. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that it is edified, encouraged, and uplift the body of Christ. Thank you for the extreme privilege to stand before your wonderful bride of Christ and let me, Lord, me teach your word tonight. I pray that as we go from this place, Lord, that we take, oh God, what we have right now with us. Give us all a good night's rest. And God, put us at the right place at the right time. Let us bear forth the fruit of your spirit, and let us see, oh God, the miraculous in this last day hour. Let Lord De Quincy, let TPC be a place of refuge, that people will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west to be healed, to be saved, to be delivered, to be set free, to be restored through the power of your great name. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, give him praise, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Hereby shall you know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Would you turn to somebody and greet them in love? Whatever that looks like, maybe a pat on the shoulder, a pat on the back, an embrace, a handshake, whatever kind word. But greet them in love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. I hope I see you Sunday morning.